بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am so honored and so delighted to be speaking to you, my dear brothers and sisters, in this night in which we commemorate the Arba'een of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, our beloved Imam and our beloved hero. There is a famous saying narrated by many scholars from Imam Hassan al-Askari, the 11th Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who said, "Alamatul mu'mini khams." Every mu'min, every faithful has five qualities. His iman, his faith is demonstrated through those qualities. One, al-jahru بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتعفير الجبين والتختم باليمين وصلاة 51 وزيارة 40. The Imam then goes on to list those five qualities. He says the first one, الجهر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Saying this verse out loud to be your identity, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. My dear brothers and sisters, in every faith, in every religion, the followers of that faith has a slogan that they use to identify themselves with. So for example, in the Christian faith, there is the cross that the Christians identify themselves through. So the Christians are known to have the cross as their religious symbol. And even when they pray, they make the shape of the cross to offer their prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to Jesus. The Jews have the Star David to be their religious symbol. For Muslims, there is no shape that you use to identify yourself as a Muslim rather than this great statement that we utter every day, many times a day, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, لا خير في ما لم يبتدئ ببسم الله. There is no good in things that do not start with the name of Allah. You invoke the name of Allah by every attempt, by every step you take once you do a job or business, or any gesture. You identify yourself with that statement, and you invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this emphasis, my dear brothers and sisters, on this great verse in the Quran, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful? If you, my dear brothers and sisters, focus for a moment on the deep meaning of this verse, it shows you that a Muslim, every Muslim, should in his or her subconscious totally rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek guidance from Him. When you say, in the name of Allah, it means that I seek guidance from Allah. I rely on Him, not on my intelligence, because sometime my intelligence betrays me. Not on my power, because my power sometime betrays me. Not on my personal strength, because my personal strength may betray me. The only one who will never betray you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you rely on Him. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. And on Allah shall those who rely. On Allah, not on your power, not on your intelligence, not on your wealth. Always rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything you do, seek guidance from Him. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time we stand before Him to offer our prayer, we say this verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You we worship. And from You we seek guidance. He is the ultimate power. He is the ultimate power. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills in us the thought that we always need to rely on Him and only on Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Every person introduces himself by the degree he holds. So if you hold PhD, you say doctor such and such. You introduce yourself with the degree you hold, so people can identify you through that degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associates Himself, He introduces Himself to people through two characteristics. The Merciful, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the compassionate, the Merciful. Simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know that He is so merciful. Someone asked me the other day a simple question. And I answered him a simple answer. He says, Mawlana, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the Christians, the Jews, the atheists? Would He forgive them or no? Will He be merciful with them or no? I said, there is a line in Dua Kumail. You all read Dua Kumail, I guess. And the first line is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ali alayhi salam, saying that Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. I ask You with Your mercy, Your mercy that prevails everything and embraces everything. Is a Christian a thing or no? If he's a thing, that means yes, Allah's mercy will also embrace him. Allah's mercy would embrace everything. Everything that the hadith from the Prophet says, in the day of judgment, the Lucifer, the devil himself, will have a hope in Allah's mercy. حَتَّى الشَّيْطَانِ يَطْمَعُ فِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Even Satan will have a hope in Allah's mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of over 100 names that He has, and by the way, Allah's names are not confined within 99 names. Allah's names are too many. Out of many names He has, He chooses those two names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, to introduce Himself to the world, to the creation, to us. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So that's the first thing. Al-Jahru bi Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Number two, the Imam says, وَتَعْفِيرُ الْجَبِينَ. That when you pray, you put your forehead on the floor. Why is that, my dear brothers and sisters? As a matter of fact, there are many Muslims who are confused. Why we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, when we pray, when we prostrate, we put our forehead on a piece of clay, basically. Piece of rock. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why don't we simply put our forehead on the carpet? In our homes, I'm sure your homes are carpeted with best carpet and rugs, probably. But why I'm not permitted to put my forehead on the carpet when I prostrate? I must put my head on the floor, on the sand. Why is that? So simple. It is a reminder of our final destiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one ayah in the Quran says, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From this earth I have created you. And this to this earth you will go back. And from this earth I will resurrect you again. When you pray, you put your most honorable part, which is your forehead, on the floor. So you don't become arrogant. You remember that you were made out of soil. That's one. Don't be so arrogant. You are made out of the soil. Never look at the wealth, at the size of wealth you possess today. Before you were born, only 9 months before you were born, you're a piece of soil. You were made out of soil. Your parent ate food. This food was made out of soil. And then you became, and you became a human being. Never forget your origin. And when you pray, every time you pray, you prostrate, you are reminded of your origin. That you are made out of this clay. And finally, in the end, you will go back to this earth. You will become soil again. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, this is what the Prophet himself says. He says, every human being walks on earth. Earth talks to him or to her every day. Every day, earth talks to me and talks to you. How? I don't know. This is what the Prophet says. But he says that earth talks to you. Of course, earth doesn't have a tongue to talk, but it could be a testimony. In other words, earth may not talk with you with a tongue, with a piece of tongue, but it might be able to communicate with you. Exactly the way that you receive an email. Someone sent you an email. You say, someone talked to me or told me. When you say, someone told me, he did not utter a word. He did not open his mouth. He did not move his tongue. But he told you through a letter. In the email. An email letter. But earth has its ways to talk to us. The Prophet says every day earth talks to us. And talks to human beings walking on it. تقول يا ابن آدم أنت اليوم تسير على ظهري وغدا أنت في بطني. Today you are walking on me, tomorrow you will be in me. فاعمل لبيتك الذي ستسكن فيه. So prepare for the house you shall occupy soon. So my dear brothers and sisters, the Imam says one of the characteristic of a mu'min, a believer, is to put his forehead or her forehead on the floor, on the soil, so you, at the time of prayer, so we would be reminded of the great lesson. Great, as a matter of fact, the entire salah, my dear brothers and sisters, the entire salah is, it's a body language. When you stand before Allah like someone, a convicted man standing before the judge in the trial, in the court. When you bow down, you are displaying your submission to Allah by that gesture. When you go to the floor and prostrate, with the first prostration, you indicate your origin, which is earth. You raise your head from prostration, you indicate your birth. And when you go back in the second prostration, the Imam says it indicates your death. And you're going back to earth. And when you raise your head from the second prostration, this is an indication of your resurrection in the Day of Judgment. So the second characteristic of a mu'min is وَتَعْفِيرُ الْجَبِينَ. Number three, he says وَاتَّخَدْتُمُ بِالْيَمِينَ. This is a very symbolic act, my dear brothers and sisters, that Islam says it is mustahab. You wear a ring and you wear it in your right hand. Why right hand? Why right hand? I don't know why right hand. I'm a soldier. And I have no permission to challenge my commander. In many ahadith, we, the worshippers, we, the believers, we are described as sometimes soldiers in the battlefield who shall follow the order of their commander. Or sometimes we are described as patient who must follow the order of his doctor. You do not argue with your doctor. If your doctor is a licensed one, if he is a qualified one, you submit your body to him. And when he prescribes a drug for you, you do not argue with him. You may ask him, you may inquire, but you never argue with your doctor. Your doctor has no time to argue with him. He tells you, if you want to argue with me, find another doctor. After submitting to the fact that I'm a qualified doctor, I have no time for you to argue with me. You don't have my expertise. The Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمْ كَالْمَرْضَى وَرَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالطَّبِيبِ. You are like a patient. Patient, and Allah is the doctor. فَصَلَاحُ الْمَرِيضِ فِيمَا يَرَاهُ الطَّبِيبِ لَا فِيمَا يَشْتَهِيهِ الْمَرِيضِ. Your well-being as a patient rest in what the doctor prescribes for you, not what you wish or what you enjoy. If you want to follow your own desires, you will never recover. If you want to recover, you must follow the order of the doctor. The hadith says it is mustahab. The Prophet, this is the sunnah of the Prophet, that you wear it in your right hand. Now, I want to make a brief comment here, just to show you how prejudiced some people are. There is a Maliki scholar. He writes in his book, a Maliki, who follows Imam Malik ibn Anas. He says, I kindly ask the kids who are sitting with us to go to the cafeteria. There is a movie for them. So I appreciate if they proceed there and allow elderly people or elder people to use the chairs here. So I kindly repeat my request to the beautiful children who are sitting here. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This scholar says that it has been documented that Rasulullah had ordered Muslims to wear a ring in their right hand. لَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ اسْتِحْبَابُ التَّخَتُّمَ بِالْيَمِينَ. He admits that it is mustahab. According to the Prophet, it is mustahab that you wear your ring in your right hand. Then he says, وَلَكِنْ, since this has become a Shia tradition, we think the best thing to do is to wear it in your left hand. Now I ask, where is the objectivity here? You guys call yourself the followers of the Sunnah. You guys who call yourselves the followers of the Prophet. And this shows so much prejudice that you're not following the Prophet. You're following your own desire. You know, there are some people who create their own faith, their own religion. They say we follow Allah, but the moment their personal interest comes into clash with Allah's order, they take their order over Allah's order. Then the Prophet, the Imam alayhi salam, says, وَصَلَاتْ أَحْدَى وَخَمْسِينَ. The fourth characteristic of a mu'min is to pray the mandatory and recommended prayers of the 24 hours. In the 24 hours, there are 5 daily mandatory prayers. The morning, noon, afternoon, sunset, and night prayer. There are 5 mandatory prayers, who form 17 rak'ah. Now, in addition to those 17 rak'ah, there are 34 rak'ah that are mustahab to do. So, the total of 17 plus 31 would be 51 rak'ah. So, it is mustahab for a Muslim, a good believing Muslim, to do them all, to pray the mandatory and the recommended. Now, we have some people who barely do the mandatory prayers. I have a friend who told me once that, Sayyidina, I pray the 5 daily prayers every day at night at 11 p.m. And I ask him why. He says, because I go to the pharmacy and I don't have time to pray. And I pray them all at 11 p.m. when I come home from my pharmacy. This shouldn't be the way, my dear brothers and sisters. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. The Prophet says, your salah is your vehicle that ascends you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ascension to Allah is through your salah. Do not underestimate your salah. The Prophet says, لو قبل الله من العبد صلاة واحدة لأدخله بها الجنة. So amazing. Every time I read this hadith, I am puzzled. How many prayers we pray in our lifetime? Probably hundreds of thousands of prayers. If we pray the mandatory prayers every day since the time of puberty till the moment we die, there will be hundreds of thousands of salah. The Prophet says, if Allah accepts one single salah, it would qualify you to enter heaven. What does that mean? It means it's so difficult that one salah would be accepted by Allah. So difficult. In order for my salah to be accepted by Allah, so it would qualify me to take me to heaven, I have to work harder, much harder. So, the hadith says, مَا زَالَ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. My beloved servant seeks closestness to me through doing extra prayers. حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. He does that till I love him. I fall in love with him. Yeah, Allah falls in love with certain people. And there is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls in love with you. And one of them is that you seek closeness to Allah by doing extra salah. He says, حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. He does so till I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ عَيْنُهُ الَّتِي يُبْصُرُ بِهَا. So if I love him, I will be his vision that he sees through. وَأَكُونُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I will be his ears that he will hear through. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. And وَأَكُونُ يَدُهُ الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا. I will be his hand that he does business with. So, that's the fourth characteristic of a mu'min, believer. وَصَلَاتْ أَحْدَى وَخَمْسِينَ. And finally, the Imam says, وَزِيَارَةِ الْأَرْبَعِينَ. To visit Imam Hussein in his 40th. Why it is so important, my dear brothers and sisters, to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam? When I say visit, well, what comes to your mind is that you take an aeroplane and you fly to Karbala. Is that what we mean? Yeah, of course, that's what we mean, if that's possible. It is so highly recommended that you do so if you can. And when someone came to the Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and the Imam says to him, do you visit Imam al-Hussein? He says, no, I can't. I live in Medina, and Imam Hussein is buried in Karbala. There are almost 1,500 miles distance between me and him. How can I visit him? He says, no, I don't mean that you go and physically visit Imam Hussein every day. What you do, you go to the roof of your home. The Imam says this. And Imam al-Sadiq is saying this. The Imam says, the sixth Imam of Ahlul Bayt, he says, no, I don't mean that you necessarily go to Karbala. If you can, that's fine. But if you can, you go to the roof of your house. And you stand toward the direction of Karbala. And you offer your ziyarah, you address Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You say, assalamu alayka ya Adama, ya waritha Adama saffutillah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Nuh al-Nabiyillah. Basically, you reassures your allegiance to Imam Hussein. My dear brothers and sisters, there is a famous line that many reciters of Imam Hussein's ta'ziyah and the story of Karbala, they read, they say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuz fawzan azima. Every time Imam instructs us, Imam al-Sadiq, he says, every time you address Imam Hussein, say this, say, Ya laytana, I wish, my dear Imam, I was in Karbala on the day of Ashura. I wish, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, I wish we have been with you. فَنَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. So we win a great success. Now every Muslim, every believing Muslim must express this desire of being with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Imam says, if you say this sincerely, Allah will consider you part of Imam Hussein's companions, even though that you did not attend Karbala. Because you are reassuring Imam Hussein in his mission. In other words, you are pledging with Imam Hussein. You are offering your allegiance to Imam Hussein that yes, I was not fortunate enough to be with you in the day of Karbala, but at least I embrace your mission. I embrace your mission. Had I there in Karbala on the day of Ashura, I would have definitely supported you and followed your mission. So, my dear brothers and sisters, yes, unfortunately it is difficult for us to be today in Karbala. I spoke with family members 2 days ago. They told me that there are over 4 million people who came from around the world to visit Imam Hussein in the day of Arba'in. Why is that? This is the miracle of Allah. This is the miracle of Allah. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, we Muslims do pilgrimage to Mecca every year. What do we do in Mecca? We basically re-honor the rituals done by great prophet of Allah, and that is who? Ibrahim. Ibrahim did a sacrifice. We honor his sacrifice by our sacrifice. Ibrahim stoned the shaitan. We stoned the shaitan. Ibrahim built the house of Allah. So we circumambulate around the house of Allah in order to honor that ritual that was enacted by Ibrahim. But remember, the Kaaba that we visit, the Kaaba that we touch, the Kaaba that we kiss, the Kaaba that we adore is made of what? Made of stones. And bricks. Now, who is more honorable in the eyes of Allah? The Kaaba or of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? You know, a famous poet or a poet. He says about Imam Zain al-Abidin. Imam Zain al-Abidin came 1 year to visit Mecca, to visit Kaaba. And the Kaaba was full of people. There were thousands of people in the holy mosque. And the caliph himself, he attempted to kiss the black stone. He couldn't because of the crowd. When Imam Zain al-Abidin came, he easily found access to the Kaaba. And he kissed the Kaaba. So one poet, Al-Farazdaq, which he is well-known Arabic poet, he says, هذا الذي تعرف البطحاء وطأته والبيت يعرفه والحل والحرم. This is a man who is known by the Kaaba, by Zamzam, by Mina, by Arafat. Everything and here knows this man. هذا الذي تعرف البطحاء وطأته والبيت يعرفه والحل والحرم. هذا ابن خير عباد الله كلهم. هذا التقي النقي الطاهر العلم. This is the son of the messenger of Allah. This is the pure. This is the purified. Then he adds one more line. He says, لو يعلم البيت من قد جاء يلثمه لخر يلثم منه ما وطل قدمه. So powerful. He says, if Kaaba can kiss the soil that this man walks on, the Kaaba would do that. The Kaaba itself. My dear brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein is al-Imam al-Natiq. He is al-Qur'an al-Natiq. He is the speaking Qur'an. He's the vocal Qur'an. And when we commemorate him, in reality we are reassuring our allegiance with Qur'an again. We reassure Imam Hussein with everything that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That's why our beloved Imam, the 12th Imam, al-Imam al-Hujjat al-Muntadhar, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, he addresses his grandfather, Imam Hussein. He says, my grandfather, لَقَدْ قَتَلُوا بِقَتْلِكَ الْقُرْآنِ. When they killed you, in reality, they killed Qur'an. وَانْتَهَكُوا بِقَتْلِكَ حُرْمَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ. They have violated the sanctity of Islam when they killed you. Because Imam Hussein is Islam. Imam Hussein means nothing but Islam and Quran. Targeting Imam Hussein, in reality, means targeting Quran itself, targeting Islam, targeting the Prophet himself. Because Imam Hussein is a duplicate of his grandfather. I would like to stop here, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you all, accept your a'mal and deed. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.